Over a year ago, there has been a word that was tossed around, which at first seemed to suggest a promise and got many people to look to positive outcomes following a disastrous history. There were good intentions, but to not much avail, and certainly not a repeat of the same disasters, if not worse, from what happened previously. This word sparked interest among the many, and it became very popular throughout the whole world, an encouraging word, which would hope to bring about a resolution. However, that would not be the case, as we have all seen in light of what has been going on around the world and in this country. And the word that I'm talking about here is change. Unfortunately, as with most elections, there are many promises thrown out there to ensure a vote. But many things never go according to plans, resulting in broken promises, which further result in anger amongst the people, who then point the finger on the very person they voted for. It happens all the time. And this proves the ignorance among so many out there that don't realize what they are voting for, which is a very good reason why we, the church, do not vote. We have been given a very special understanding from God to live a life which He has intended for us to help us overcome sin around the world, and we can do it through His Holy Spirit, for we are the first fruits. Now, we have heard plenty of that in the past few days leading up to it, so it's going to be really hard for me not to talk about that, and I'm going to try really hard not to take any information from NorbertLink. We are set apart from the rest of the world and have been given this gift now, before everyone gets to experience this in due time. Now, I am going to speak about change today, but not the type of change so many had counted on. But what I'm going to refer to is a promise that has been followed through, that we have experienced, and that we still experience today. There are two types of change that I will discuss with you today, a spiritual and a physical change. On the first one, having to do with the spiritual change, we have all experienced at the time of our baptism. And this was one of the most important decisions that we had made in our lives. If you could please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to read about the things that we have stopped doing or given up or whatever. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and in contrary have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Now, notice these things that we have put all of these behind us. In verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. We still do those things, don't we? You know, and every time we do, obviously we should feel within ourselves that it is a wrong thing to do, and we have been given that gift to repent of our ways, and we ask for forgiveness. Now, let's also go to Ephesians chapter 4. I figured I'd talk about this now before it goes into great detail. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, we read about the person that we are now, the new man. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Why are they so ignorant? Why do people don't know what the truth really is about? Well, obviously, their time of salvation has not come yet. In verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. Because we have God's Holy Spirit within us, we have the knowledge to make right decisions and not be blindsided by what the world has to offer. When politicians say things that people want to hear instead of the truth, the only truth that we know is what we are reading here today. However, we can get easily sidetracked and lose focus when we don't allow His Spirit to work within us. By studying, by praying, by meditating on His words, fellowship with His like minds, observing His commandments, observing His holy days, which is what we are doing today, while the rest of the world has no clue yet on what this day actually pictures. Since we are observing a holy day, we experience another kind of change, a physical change that we are commanded to give to God as an offering. And this change I'm talking about is money. As we know, we give to God from the heart what is owed to Him anyway. Our way of giving Him thanks for all He has done for us, all the blessings that we have received, the gift that He has given us, and the promises that He has in store for us. Now, if we think about it, in return, we give Him a fraction of the money that we have earned throughout the year. It is all up to us, of course, how much we give for an offering. But He does not expect us to give all the money we've made, not even half the money we've made, most likely not even a third of the money that we have made all year. Now, it's totally up to you if you want to do that, but He does not expect that from us. The physical change that we give Him doesn't mean much to Him since He gives it to us anyway. It's what He looks for us on the inside. It is our attitude and in our willingness to give, as it says in Matthew 10, verse 8, freely we have received and freely we must give. He gives many things to us freely. He doesn't ask for money or, let's say, with the blessings that He gives us. It doesn't cost anything. And yet, in return, we freely give to Him, or we should. It is a command to give an offering. He's not commanding how much we give. But then go to a farther, to a broader picture, I guess. When we give to others, anything that we do, anything nice that we do for others, we are freely doing that. We are not forced to do anything. By having a positive attitude, we also have faith that God continues to bless us when times get tough. And believe me, they do get tough. My wife and I, we are in our third tithe year. And we started this ever since the feast. And before this happened, since we've only been married a little over 2 years, almost 2 years. And before that, I was really, really good about writing everything down on paper. Now, I've heard plenty of stories of people who wrote everything down on paper. And it's already tough when you don't even have third tithe in play yet. But as soon as you put third tithe, I just quit doing it because I knew it would just frustrate me because it doesn't make any sense. You write it all on paper, you are behind. But I'll tell you what, God has blessed us so much this year that just because what you physically write down does not add up, that doesn't mean that God is not blessing you. And he sure is. And I don't know how it works. I have no idea, you know, what he has, obviously what he has in store. It's just so hard to comprehend what he is doing for us. And you know what? That doesn't mean I'm not going to still get frustrated when unexpected things happen, which they do. Unexpected expenses happen. I'm sure everybody goes through it. And I still get frustrated. But, what we have to do is this, or at least what I have to do. Instead of letting ourselves get frustrated or too frustrated, we produce a spiritual change by prayer and fasting. The last member letter, it was recommended that we do fast before this day, and I tell you, it makes a big difference. And I, for one, will tell you, too, I don't like to fast because I love to eat. But, you know, you just have to do it. And the blessings will come. And they do. Prayer and fasting, it is a powerful weapon. And our worrying diminishes since we know what God promises us and the gift that he has given us, the Holy Spirit. And this is our strength. We have to be of good cheer. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Familiar scripture, yet we continue to read it as a reminder. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. A little change that we give to God goes a long way in return. Think about what God has done for us already this year. And we're not even halfway there yet. The physical change we give from the heart produces a spiritual change within us, which results in a change for the better.